This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. They were four guys out of Athens, Georgia, with a three-letter name and one hell of an impact on rock. R.E.M., Michael Stipe singing lead, Mike Mills on bass and harmonies, Peter Buck on guitar, and Bill Berry on drums, till he left the band in 1997.
This one goes out to the one I love. Everybody hurts sometimes. Well,
after 31 years together and 85 million albums sold around the world, REM announced in September that they were breaking up.
We all go back to where we belong. We all go back to where we belong.
And I'm joined now by Michael Stipe and Mike Mills to talk about the history and the end of REM. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How weird is it to think of REM in the past tense after 31 years together?
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
But, you know, it's funny. It doesn't always feel like the past tense. The records are still there. The music is still there. We're still here. We just won't be recording and touring together anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of knew, you know, all along. I mean, we never expected the thing to last any longer than a couple of years to begin with, I think. And then when it did and people were, we were making records and people were interested in it, the band started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it just kind of snowballed into what turned into a 31-year career.
You know, I think a lot of REM fans would have given anything to be able to say they were at your very first show in Athens, Georgia, in April of 1980. I've only read about it. It was in a church, right?
You weren't there.
I was not there. I'm positive. I wish I were.
You know, it's funny. I only saw 300 people there, but I've heard since then there were about 10 or 12,000.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Claim to have been there. But yeah, it was a deconsecrated church, and it had a big opening in the back with lots of holes in the floor. It was extremely dangerous, and we had three kegs of beer and a bunch of whatever else was going around Athens at the time, and it was a marvelous evening.
Michael Stipe, do you remember thinking early on, this can work, we can make a go of this?
I'm not sure what I felt in those early days. I have to say, I mean, we shared a love of the music and the people that influenced us. One of the main things about REM, especially then, is that you were watching us grow up in public. You were watching a band learn how to play songs, learn how to be a gang, learn how to perform. And that was part of the excitement, because every night was a giant new adventure.
What did it mean for REM to move from the alternative rock world, the indie world, with a reputation spread largely by college radio and word of mouth, and then become so hugely successful with a major label deal on Warner Brothers? Were there compromises? Did you worry about selling out?
I was never worried about selling out, because we were always going to do things our way. We make all the artistic decisions, and we make them based on what feels right for the band, not what's going to sell the most records or not what's going to make the record company happy. You know, I think we maintained what I consider to be indie rock pretty much all the way through.
Compromise is a word that we bandied around a lot, and REM always had the rule of no. I was, to be completely frank, really jealous of bands that had really great hairdos like Kaja Goo Goo and Bow Wow Wow, and they had, you know, they represented themselves in this way that felt very, to me, thought out and very stylish and very cool and very hip. And we were trying really hard to be cool, but we weren't cool. And what happened is that by trying to be cool but not being cool, we wound up creating kind of a new version of cool that's really uncool, but cooler than cool. So there it is. I've never said it better.
I haven't said enough. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. I think I thought I saw you try. But that was just
Michael Stipe, what do you think will replace the adrenaline of a live show and that communication with an audience that you've had for so long now?
I've been running a lot on the West Side Highway. Uh-huh. I haven't yet reached that high that I get from hearing the first bass notes of Man on the Moon ring out and watching a field or a room full of thousands, tens of thousands of people respond to a song that they know very well.
And you know, Melissa, nothing's going to replace what we did. I mean, Yeah. The thing that makes a band is the chemistry that occurs between the three or four people when they're standing on stage. And the one thing I really will miss is that energy that happens when Peter and Michael and I start to make noise together. You can't replace that. You can only be grateful that you had it and move on and find something else that makes you happy and excited.
Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locked in the park? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis?
Hey, baby, are you having fun?
I was thinking about this too, Mike Mills, that so much of REM sound was your voice and Michael's twined together. And I wonder where that goes for you. What fills that space?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love to sing, but I don't have the texture, I think, that a lead vocalist requires. So,
I think you do.
Well, thank you. But I don't know that it would carry over the course of an entire record. So we'll just have to see. I mean, what I really want to do is sing with more people. I'm kind of excited about seeing where that goes.
And Michael Stipe, what's pulling you after REM, do you think?
I don't know. I was just going to offer Mike if you need a foghorn background vocalist.
Thank you. I'll remember
that. I'd be happy to step in. I'm going to try to be as honest as possible. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go after REM. Hopefully I'll continue to make things, whether it's songs or music or sounds or something else. I don't know.
Does it feel in a way like a kind of withdrawal? You were talking about that connection with an audience and looking out and feeling the energy of all those people.
I mean, it's hard when I've been to a couple of shows since we made the announcement, and going to shows was not easy. It was hard, in fact, to watch friends or to watch people who I admired up there performing and thinking to myself, wow, I only know that now from here, from standing in the audience.
But it's not necessarily gone forever. It just won't be with the same people. I mean, there's a lot of music to be made, and I don't see you stopping making music, you know, forever. You have too much of a good gift for that. So, you know, you'll be up there doing it with somebody, and I'll be up there doing it with somebody else. And you know, it won't be what we had, but it will be what we have.
Well, Mike Mills and Michael Stipe, thanks so much for all those years of great music, and thanks for talking with us.
You're so very welcome.
Our
thanks
pleasure.
For being there.
REM's new 2-CD retrospective is titled Part Lies, Part Heart, Part Truth, Part Garbage, 1982 to 2011. There's more from our conversation at nprmusic.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.